And we are live here on BBS Radio, another conference call in combination with this radio show on BBS Radio. Today it is October 22, 2017. And we have a topic tonight, but I don't know what it is. So let's hang tight.
The topic is love.
Love.
Light. And I am safe and healed. and bring in the Holy Ghost, too, and any friendly spirits.
It is so great that I know you right now, May. Now I know who I'm talking to.
You ought to really get to know me and talk to all my exes and say how terrible I am.
Did you go see her, too?
Say what?
Ed?
Were you there?
Yes, I was there, and so was Michelle from Cambria, and also Jeannie from Citrus Heights. Hmm?
Citrus Heights is next to Sacramento, right?
Yes, that's just on the 80 right next to Sacramento, yeah.
You know, I think Wynn is getting more people on the nightly whole planet healing than he is on any of the Sunday calls or Monday calls or Wednesday calls. I think that's doing really well.
Yeah, except the we don't do the whole planet healing calls on BBS. So
right.
But, you know what I mean? We don't know how many are listening in through BBS.
Oh, that's true. But it's nice to know that we're getting all those live people. So that's
absolutely
good.
Yes. Yeah, it's an awesome. I think it's an awesome project.
Yeah. I have to figure out how to get the word out. I could really use some business cards, or if he doesn't mind me writing it on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could have pieces of paper out.
You know, I believe he's working on it already for a longer time, but he has too many things on his hands.
Oh, I know. Well, if your printer prints them out, well, maybe I could find somebody that's got a printer that can print out a little bit of cardboard.
Do you have those with a smiley face on it for the syndical?
No.
Okay. Because you had those for years, and I got a few times. Then you donate some money, and then you ask for the ones you want, how many you want.
Oh, okay.
That's a cool one.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heis. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. But I sometimes, like when I leave a customer or something, hey, I'd say, hey, I want to leave you with my smile, and I'll just give them the card, don't say anything about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it has a little explanation on the Cindy call on the back of it with a call-in number.
But I think the nightly one is probably going to be really effective if we can just get more people thinking positive things and informing people on the planet.
Yes, I think it's very effective already, and it can become huge. I believe so, yes.
Yeah, we got to work, get out, yes. Mm-hmm. I got to get those sheets of paper in my pocket and hand them out.
Yeah. Welcome to the next caller. Good evening. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie and Citrus Heights.
Hello, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you, hi.
More people have said welcome. If you want to please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Anna Davis.
Hello, Anna. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Don.
More people join. Hello, Don. Welcome. Good evening.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening to you, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
More people joining, I believe. Feel free to say your name and location.
It's Helen in Virginia.
Helen, good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Good afternoon, or whatever it is to you.
It's almost evening right now.
Okay.
For the next person, please say your name and location.
Nice. Your daughter had a back, sore back?
Her back is hurting, yes.
I had a really bad back years ago, back spasms, the whole nine yards, and I read this book, called Healing Back Pain by Dr. Healing Johnny Sarno. Healing Back Pain by Dr. John E. Sarno, S-A-R-N-O.
John what?
John E. Sarno, S-A-R-N-O.
All right.
He might have newer books out then, but I read that book and got a lot of help from it. So.
Thank you for
okay.
And we had more people joining over here. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening.
Hi, good evening to you.
All right. Thank you. Welcome. Yeah, Kate, she's a great athlete, and she runs, and but she's also a good soccer player. But the back is very important, whatever you do in sports.
Mm-hmm. I think he's the guy, I'm thinking of it. He was one is that it was caused by a lack of oxygen is what causes the pain in your back.
Oh yeah.
And his idea was it was caused. It's psychosomatic, really. Due to your thinking or whatever, then not enough blood and thus oxygen gets to areas of your back.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you had an actual physical damage or something, that'd be something else again. But it worked for me. That's all I can say. So.
All right.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you so much, Don. More people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Those that are joining in through BBS Radio Online, thank you for being here. I see the helicopter just threw a shadow over here. Wynn will be here shortly. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening to the man from Sedona. Can you hear Wynn?
Hi there.
And good evening, Wynn, and good evening, Terry.
Good evening to you.
Thank you so much.
Is May on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Hi, May.
Hi, Wynn and Terry. I'm not doing so well today.
Oh, I saw your picture.
Uh-oh, don't tell anyone, please.
No, you're really cute.
Well, that's what my mother says, too. My father doesn't think so much.
Oh, well. Are you Chinese?
It depends on what day it is.
How about today?
No, today I think I'm just sick.
I see. Were your parents Chinese?
Yes, they were.
Because I never imagined me to be Chinese.
Me neither. It just happened that way.
Yeah. But I really, you know what? When I saw the picture of you, I got a new insight into you, okay?
Share it.
I'm not going to tell it everybody publicly. Are you kidding?
Oh. Is it that bad?
No. I mean, actually, I don't even have it in words. It was like kind of intuitive stuff. You know, I got another dimension about who you are.
Is it good?
Of course it's good.
Oh, good.
What's your birth sign?
Say that again.
What is your birth sign?
Can you guess?
Might be an air sign, like a Gemini or something. I don't know.
It's a water sign. It's a Cancer.
Is it? Oh, okay.
As far as I know.
Well, you should know. All right.
She's Chinese.
Are you going by Chinese astrology or American astrology?
American astrology.
Okay.
Don't know what my Chinese one is. I forgot. I think it's a snake or something, maybe.
Okay.
not sure.
But in any case, I feel more connected with you when I saw your picture. You know, anybody that wants to send their picture in, please do, okay? And even for Terry, probably helps us connect with you, particularly when you're putting things in the light on a Sunday or something, okay? And I got your question for Wednesday.
Thank you.
Michelle sent it. Okay?
Oh, good. And Heiss is working one, too.
I typed an email already, but I didn't send it yet.
Okay, well, you know, I'll tell you my answer, okay? Can I share your question?
Of course.
Okay. You know, Nay is moving, right? And
too slow.
You're having a very hard time packing your boxes and getting going, right?
Yeah, I've tried to suck it up. It's not working.
But that is not unusual, all right? And, you know, one of the reasons for that, moving is an incredibly challenging thing because all of your possessions have vibrations to them, you know, from the past. And they're all grounded. They've all found a place to be in your present location. And when you have to move, it's kind of like there's all of these things with vibrations that are grounded to the house and grounded to the earth in that location. And every time you touch them, not only are you ungrounding it, but you're also tapping into all the memories that are connected with that particular possession, and it makes you tired, okay? And does that sound right?
I'm not sure.
This is me. This is not the Elohim, so we'll ask the Elohim on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
But I mean, I'll tell you what I do when I have to do something like that, and it works for me, all right, is I find someone that can help me because they don't have the attachment to the energies of all those things. So when they start helping, it moves my energy so I don't get tired, okay?
Well, I have lots of help, but I'm having a hard time allowing people to touch my stuff, which I've moved 5 times before, and I've never had this problem. So I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but now you're getting older and wiser, okay?
So it should be easier.
Should be. Not necessarily. You know, because you yourself, as you get older, you ground yourself more into your environment, okay? Most people do, okay? So are you moving to another place in the same town?
Yes, and the only difference is the one that I'm going to is on the first floor, and the one I'm in is on the second floor. And so the only thing that I'm concerned about the first one is maybe security because it's on the first floor, but it has a lot of more positive things about it other than, you know, being on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very place.
What's making you move? Because it's such a big deal.
Because the rent doubled here, and I can't afford to stay here.
Well, that's a good reason, okay? And what city are you in?
Concord, moving to Concord.
Yeah. Now, you know, another thing you can do is if you know some people on the call, get a conference line going with them and have them just be on the call while you're starting to pack your bags. Okay?
Okay.
You know, I'll tell you a story. When Daphne and I were in New York City, and I was on a television show, And we went, this was like a few years ago, and the World Trade Center was still in ruins. And we decided, and I asked our sources, they said it would be a good idea. We decided to go to the site of the World Trade Center and call in the light and see if we could lift the vibration there, okay? And we went there, and it was so dense and dark, the energy, that we could not get the energy going, okay? And we went back to the motel in Brooklyn where we were staying, and we did a channeling, and I asked the question. We had just started doing conference calls, and I don't think we ever did a live channeling on a conference call at that time. And I asked them, I said, would it be a good idea to go there with some people on the conference call and help, you know, try to lift the energy while we were on the call? Were you on that call, Hayes?
I don't think so. I think it was before I was with
before you. Before your time, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we did it, and we it was raining in New York City, and we had everybody on the conference line, and it lifted the energy where we could do it. And then when we did a channeling, and they said, I said, are there any other places we should go to while we're doing this? And they said the United Nations, and they said Brooklyn Bridge, and they said go somewhere where you can see the Statue of Liberty. Okay, so now we did the World Trade Center, and now we're driving around New York City on the conference call, going to all these places. And it was kind of amazing, because it's like we were in New York City, but we weren't in New York City. The energy was just so high, and we parked in front of the United Nations, and we kind of blessed it, and we did all the things they said. And that was the very first time we ever did a conference call healing event, which now has become like a very standard thing on what we do, okay? So, and it was kind of amazing. It was amazing to experience. We could be driving in the middle of New York City in traffic and rain, and it's like we were not there. And Terry was on the line at the time, and Terry was flying with the Elohim, and she could actually see the World Trade Center from how it looked from their perspective. Terry, are you there? Are you on the line? Hello, Terry. I know you're here. I saw you.
Yeah, it was kind of an amazing experience because like the Elohim and me with them went to the very top where the building had stood and looked down through the shaft, which was now non-existent, and they could see the blocked energy, and they shot energy through the place where the tower had been to get it moving from the top down. And while they were up there, they were looking at a storm coming in. And the storm coming in looked like a little lion, the shape of a lion as it was coming in. But, of course, it was a big storm, and it was predicted to bring flooding and rain. And so I asked the Elohim if they could moderate it, and they did, and there was less flooding than was predicted. And then Wynn and Daphne were in a little car, little because we were looking down from way up high, and we could see it. It's like this little bitty car going across the bridge. And So we were looking at things from a real different perspective. And I was just praying for Daphne and Wynn that they would not run into flooding and stuff in what they were doing. And it was obvious that he didn't have the perspective to know about this gravity of the storm coming in. So it was an amazing experience for me.
Mm. So, you know, you could, you know, it's not something you may have thought of, May, but to get the energies going when you're moving, I'll bet you, if you could find a couple people in our calls, call in the light, and just have them work with you and say, okay, I'm loading my clothes up in this box, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and it, make it a light action work to get everything going, you know? That is...
I'm open to that. You know, Heiss has got my number. If anybody wants to email him and, you know, call me, that would be fine. Mm. I don't want to broadcast my number on BBS.
No. But I'm sure if somebody emails me or emails Heiss and says, I'll help May, okay? And once you get it going, you may not even need them on the line with you. But just to get the energies going, it'll help you, you know, because it'll take you out of the grounding of that particular location. It'll lift your energy above it so that you can not have such resistance and get so tired when you're looking at everything. Okay, I'm the same way. Terry is the same way. We all have challenge with the physical universe and moving things around. And I just know if it worked on the World Trade Center, it'll work on your house, you know?
I'm open. No.
And you know, try it as an experiment. And if you do it,
I'm giving it back to you. No.
Give us a report back, okay?
You got it.
Good. And, okay, before I mute everybody, anybody want to say anything? Mm. So, Terry?
Yeah.
Are you still tired?
Not so tired right now.
I was thinking of doing a session on how the Elohim created the universe, our ongoing session. Are you up for that?
I'll go with it. I can't promise that I'll get clear through it right now, but
if you lose it, let me.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Let me know and we'll do something else. Okay.
Okay.
But it's good to get those on record, you know? It's like such incredible information.
Yeah.
And most of you are familiar with this particular series, but I don't know what I'm going to ask, but we ask things that are like going back to the beginning when there was no physical universe. Hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 23rd, 2017, and we're talking about doing another How the Elohim Created the Universe call tonight. And, you know, we have probably about 20, 25 calls on the Spirit Channel, and it's under topics if you want to go review them. But it is one of the most powerful series we have done because they explain how everything went from no physical universe, no time, and how it began, how it evolved, and it makes sense in terms of how we got to the present state of the world and where we are now, which is fairly, fairly shaky, you know? I mean, we're in a period now that many things are breaking down. There's a lot of earthquakes. There's hurricanes. There's stuff that the negative is doing. And it's like, how did the world get, how did the universe, or particularly, how did our world get so screwed up to be in this precarious position, okay? And what can we do? All right. So on that note, we'll call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Well, let me just say, hi, is my sound okay today?
Yes, very good.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, operating in the Christed energies to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, we are present. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. And you means everyone on this caller who listens to a call, replay, or reads a transcript later. We are delighted to be with you. It is a sacred moment of time when we are able to connect, as connections sometimes are very, very difficult. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it, as it does not apply to you at this time. Do you have questions?
Yeah, just to do a quick review, really quick, started out with the one infinite creator. The one infinite creator was an awareness.
The all. And then it broke up and began to have different experiences in the various parts, which began to lead the various parts into different pathways and different experiences and different realizations. And overall, it made for a great patchwork quilt of experiences that enhanced the one infinite creator. And we, since we are all part of it, we have trouble even with separating ourselves when we talk about it. It has enhanced the knowledge of the all and the knowledge of awareness and consciousness.
Thank you. So the one infinite creator broke itself up into sub, the Ra group calls them sub-logi, okay?
Different focuses, where it focused in different ways.
And the Elohim was the first breakaway from the one infinite creator.
Yes.
Were there other groups as well that broke away? And as one time they said, I don't know if this is accurate, but it was said that there were five different groups and five different universes growing, okay?
Yes.
And
as a whole, that broke up into different pathways. And among the leaders of these five different universes in the upper levels, in the unseen realms, the leaders get together and discuss their various problems and their various similarities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, well, without getting too complex, just focusing on our universe, okay?
Yes.
The Elohim was able to create... No, the Elohim are pure energy. At least that's how I visualize them, or you. And they were able to spin their energy, and called spinningness, and project...
Yes. Spinningness is very basic. It is the beginning of awareness, focalized.
And they would work together, projecting spinningness, till they had a point that would congeal or solidify to become the beginning of a point in the manifest universe.
Yes, that is one of the things about color. As it spins, it isolates out into different frequencies, which have different colors, different tones, different sounds. Yes.
Okay. And actually, there was one teacher I had that wrote a little book called Master Kohans of the Seven Rays, and talking about these seven colors projected out, which were each a sub-god form of the universe. Is that accurate?
Yes, he was tuned in, yes.
Yes. And so it's a complicated thing where there were colors, there was frequencies, and that as something became created in the universe, and it happened very fast because there wasn't time very much, so at the lower levels of timeline, things could just pile up on each other and create rather quickly. From the timeline of the Elohim to the timeline of what was being created. And
time is relative. It depends upon how you look at it.
Yeah. But as a little portion of the universe was developed, say a solar system or a galaxy, it would then participate in creating the things that were under its auspices, and they would participate in creating the things that were under their auspices, and then different sections of the universe would vibrate together and create even new possibilities. So it kept evolving. And it was a huge, beyond comprehension, complexity of creation.
For you,
and
yes.
And it was kind of like the Elohim dropped a rock in the water, and then the waves started going out. And,
very simplified, yes.
Yeah, and it would become a self-creating biosphere, so to speak, okay?
Yes, and there are immense mathematical equations that are part and parcel of how things work that dictate how things go together.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would imagine at the beginning stages, and you said this, there was a joy of creation. There was a
joy. We were very joyful.
A joy in seeing it all start to work. In other words, you had to conceive of it first. You had to come up with the frequencies.
We didn't conceive of some of it. We just did it.
You just did it. But you could see that what you did started matching the vision of what you thought it would do.
We did not have preconceived notions at the start. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, as the physical universe started to manifest, and when we talk about the physical universe, we really also mean the astral universe, the causal universe, all the various...
These are like layers, like if a science experiment in a chemistry lab, and you see the various layers based upon the various chemicals involved that form their own layer.
Yes. And so it was a huge, complex operation. And in the lineage of the creation of this, was there an astral, for example, was there an astral level first and then a physical level?
First of all, it was in the etheric realm. The realm of creation of potential.
Okay. So things were creating not in the physical at first. They were creating higher than the physical.
Yes.
Okay? In the ethereal. And the ethereal is higher than the astral. Correct?
We were very surprised when the Big Bang happened, because that was when our ideas we were starting to put into place, and we would put two things together and they would resound and clap, and it would resulting in chemical manifestation, and we were quite surprised.
In other words, things happened that you actually didn't anticipate.
Yes.
And that's why you were surprised.
We are only servants. We are working according to the laws that the one infinite creator set into place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is the question here, and that is, as all this was unfolding, and it got more and more specific to the point there were physical bodies, animal bodies to start with, amoeba bodies prior to that, and there was this excitement of seeing the loose structure of the very highest realms kind of condense into very specific form.
Yes, and, four in all.
And the form was becoming alive, starting with simplicity and getting more and more sophisticated. Yes?
Yes.
And initially, the Elohim was doing all the initial foundational constructs to get things started. And after a while, it started to construct itself and evolve itself in a way that was unpredictable, because there was the blood.
Say it that way, however, there is awareness at every level that is the heart of the infinite creator that is focused down.
Yeah. So, and as it got even further along, when there became different life forms that were intelligent life forms, with the two-legged humanoid, and then as one studies this, one finds descriptions of the reptilian forms, of the insectoid forms, of bird forms, and there became categories of consciousness as it would inhabit physical embodiments. Am I kind of correct there?
Would you repeat that last sentence?
Oh, God. It's hard enough to formulate it. Let's see. As there would be all these myriad humanoid forms coming in with a human like us, then reptilian humans, insectoid humans. Now, this is stuff I've read about. Bird-like. I don't even use the word human, but what I mean was thinking consciousness, evolving consciousness,
yes,
occupying all these
different forms.
Yeah, taking different forms.
Yes.
Was the Elohim involved in the creation of the individual forms, or was it
They were the lower levels that were already manifest were also taking part in the development of more forms in genetic experiments.
Yeah, and as you had these forms, did they work on creating new forms? In other words,
yes.
did the insectoid forms work on creating two-legged humanoid forms?
No, they were, once you have a race, they are more interested in
their own race.
Although there are exceptions, they're more interested in their own projection. However, the Earth people, because of their new agenda of having slave race to do the work for them and to be able to survive better in Earth's atmosphere, were developed somewhat independently.
Mm-hmm. And the Anunnaki was one of those races that goes,
yes,
it's very old, that if you go back far enough, they were actually working with the celestial Elohim in the seeding of the universe, yes?
Well, the Anunnaki was a small group.
Well, the question is, were there other Well, there were other groups doing this then. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
More expansive groups. Yes.
For example,
the Anunnaki were very specific, trying to develop a race of workers.
So, in general, even way back, they were trying to create slave races.
Yes. Well, at the beginning, at one stage in Earth history, the population really died off in the Earth plane, and the Anunnaki came in and began to develop it and develop a new race that would be able to survive better in the atmosphere of Earth and be able to work for them.
At that time, were they interfacing with a celestial Elohim, or were they operating fairly independently?
Some of them were interfacing and some of them were not.
Mm-hmm. Because I believe some people get confused, even in our work, because the Anunnaki identify themselves as the Elohim, biblically, and the sons of God mated with the daughters of man, and said they named themselves the Elohim. So I'm trying to understand why they named themselves the Elohim, where they had an identification with the word Elohim.
Give us a moment. Some of the leaders in Anunnaki had been previously Elohim souls and had taken bodies and then gotten into the tradition of the Anunnaki. And they still called upon the Elohim to support and to guide them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When the universe was unfolding, and as you said, that it started out with the higher levels of the dimensions first, and then the lower levels would keep forming under them. In other words,
yes.
The etheric was before the astral. The astral
yes.
was before the physical, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
and so as things were unfolding and the higher levels were forming, we know service to self goes up to by using the Ra definition of eight densities. Service to self goes up to sixth density. In other words,
yes.
there are
this
some
is not just everyone has some service to self in
yeah.
the new realm to sustain themselves and to honor themselves and to develop themselves and not be totally service to others, or they will not be able to continue.
Mm-hmm. So when I say service to self, I am referring to that consciousness that wanted to take this unfolding universe and put it under their control. They wanted to control it. As we see now in service to self, that is the agenda behind the service to self. you know, primarily, I'm saying...
instances of that dotted throughout your society.
Right. Now, I assume this idea of attempting to control the universe started before there was a physical universe, but I'm not sure, but at a very higher levels, like in the etheric, where there was consciousness there that wanted to create a universe under their auspices, okay?
Yes.
So that consciousness existed prior to the physical universe.
Yes, however, this does not describe us.
Well, I don't think it describes you. It describes a subsidiary consciousness that broke away from the higher levels of creation and tried to make a creation that they could enslave and dance around.
More specific as you get into, they say, Anunnaki developing the slave race, different attitudes towards mankind based upon the magnificence of the people, and keep being more generous and caring and wishing to create something on its own. And his brother, half-brother, creating something that he totally wanted to control.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, those were basic templates of consciousness, Enki and Enlil, right? As humans were created on Earth.
Yes.
Which were hybrids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And those basic templates of Enki and Enlil, they seem to exist today. Still, behind the scenes, are the original Enki and Enlil still existing today, behind the scenes, manipulating these templates?
They have their fragments, yes.
Their fragments?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Their fragments are still existing and affecting things today.
Yes. And many times, Enki, or derivative of Enki, was attempting to make contributions to evolve the human species back to the experience of the one infinite creator, or some people call it Godhead, okay?
Yes, you figured that if you're going to do a creation like that, that you shouldn't totally subject it to a juggernaut.
Mm-hmm. And Enki supposedly, the things I read, I don't think I ever asked you this, a form of Enki was responsible for some positive contributions in this realm, such as yoga. Okay? Somebody, is that true? Yoga?
We do see, yes, that is correct.
And
the vestiges of yoga in for people.
Now, there were all these guru messiah figures throughout history. There was Allah, there was Muhammad, there was, you know, Abraham, there was Jesus, of course, and Buddha. And was Enki associated with any of those expressions?
Yes,
for those people were seeking enlightenment and advancement within their own path and their own souls, and they were after Enki, and he did have some influence on her ability to exist.
Mm-hmm. And I had the idea that Enki was perhaps the one who Noah identified as God, and that was attempting to preserve the DNA of the species on Earth.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
As was Noah.
Okay. As was Noah.
Yes.
But, you know, Noah had conversations with God directing him. And was there really an ark or was it a spaceship?
By ark, you mean a boat?
A boat, yeah.
Was an ark a boat?
It was a boat.
Survive, yeah.
So it actually was a boat. It wasn't a spaceship, right?
Right.
Okay. And there was another thing I read that Enlil, like Enki, had something to do with yoga, with probably meditation. Maybe some of the Indian Hindu stuff, maybe, I don't know. But Enlil had to do with martial arts and more warrior type trainings in this realm.
We do not see this as a distinction.
You don't see that? Okay.
No.
That was just something I read. I just wanted to confirm it. And, well, you know, we got 1 minute left. And is there anything you'd like to say? Thank you so much for all this amazing understanding of how things evolve. And is there anything that you would like to say in closing to sum this up?
Thank you to each and every one who is paying attention, and to you particularly. We give our profound gratitude as communication is very fulfilling to us to be able to communicate with you and the people that are paying attention.
Thank you so much. Steve Cannell, I'll try to remember to ask your question on Wednesday. I didn't want to break up my flow on this call, because then I get scattered and I lose my track. But it's a good question, and you can ask it on Wednesday, okay? Do me a favor and resubmit it to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. I'm so I don't miss it, okay? Because I search all of those emails for Wednesday, and if it's not in that email, I may not ask it. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll just forward it right now so we get it right. And then I'll put it in there for Wednesday.
We give our thanks to Steve Cannell. We very much appreciate him. He has been very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if any of you want to volunteer to be on the phone line with May for a couple hours, I didn't ask our sources, so I'll ask more on Wednesday to get their take on May's conundrum on getting her energy up to move. But if anyone wants to volunteer with what I suggested, send me an email. And you have to send me your phone number, because May is not computer literate. So you know, it doesn't have to be an all-day project. Start out for an hour or something. Call in the light, and then just give May support in getting started. And on that note, I thank Terry for bringing this in. I thank Hayes for hosting us. And I thank all of you here holding the energy and the belief. You know, we couldn't do this if you guys thought we were a bunch of nutcases. Okay? And, you know, that have the feeling that maybe we're actually bringing through something this legitimate, that is legitimate, and you're creating space for it to occur in. So on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody. Here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
And
thank you, Terry. Thank you,
Good night,
thank
everyone.
We'll see you. We'll see you on Whole Planet Healing, and thank you for being here.
Your conference recording has stopped.